of our series in Growing in Grace. We started 5 weeks ago, Grow in Grace. And we talked about the meaning of growing grace, and it means to be more like Jesus, amen? To have yourself conformed and allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to make you more like Jesus. And we talked about the meaning and the methods and the measurements. And in our second week, we talked about indicators of infancy and how sometimes folks don't grow like they should and some areas. And then we talked about some guidelines for growth and forsaking childish things and hindering things and sinful things and feeding on the Word of God and following Jesus. We're to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Last week we looked at marks of maturity out of the first part of Ephesians verses 7 through 16. We said they believe in God's process. God wants to perfect us. That word means to mature. And there's a process we see from birth to infancy to adolescence to adulthood. And God has that process. And He uses the grace in our lives. And He uses gifts to help build us for the work of the ministry. And we mentioned, listen, the work of the ministry is too big for any one person to do. Amen? And that's why God wants us to grow, that we as a body of believers could do the work of the ministry. And so we talked about He believes in God's promises, but also a mark of maturity is to build God's people. You see there in verse number 12 of chapter 4, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. To edify means to build up. And somebody that's mature in the faith builds up, they unify, they strengthen people, amen. I think of people that visit and people that help the needy and those that are peacemakers, amen. They build God's people. Then thirdly, we talked about not only believes God's process, builds God's people, but they have their basis in God's perfection. Saturation with and obedience to the Word of God will produce maturity. It will every time. And not just to be saturated with it. That's fine and that will accomplish great things. But to have a heart that says, this is what God's Word says, I want to do what He says. That's so important, amen, to have that surrendered heart. So we looked at those in the last 4 weeks. Now we mentioned this before, but again we'll reiterate, growth is natural. There are stages of growth and there's progression of growth. And listen, don't be too discouraged. Don't look around at the way somebody else is growing and say, well, I'm not growing that fast. As long as you're growing, amen. As long as you're growing, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. So growth is natural. Think about this, parents. Growth is delightful. I remember the first tooth. Amen. Some of you seniors said, and I remember the last one too. Amen. Oh, remember that? That's a blessing to see that first tooth. How about that first step when they just wobbled around? Amen. I saw little Carly walking around today and it seems like just yesterday she was in the nursery rolling around like a bowling ball. Amen. Just had all those rolls, couldn't do anything. Hey, that's a blessing. That's delightful to us. You know, you think about the first words and you think about the first steps and I think it was Brother Mark that mentioned about the driving the car. Amen. You know, think about, here they are. They're all growing up. They grow up so fast. It happens. It's delightful. You know what else growth is? Growth is satisfying. Growth brings responsibilities. Amen? At least it's supposed to. And with responsibilities come accomplishments and growth. But in growing and in maturing, there are do's and there are don'ts. There are yeses and there are no's. There are thou shalt's and there are thou shalt not's. And we live in a world, ladies and gentlemen, in 2012, where the word no is becoming passé. If you want proof of that, check out sometime at the grocery store with a child that wants a candy bar. We've already told our children, don't even ask. We're not getting them at the checkout. For just such an illustration, I have seen children that I don't know if they were demon possessed, but there was five demons all around them. I'll tell you that right now. And they scream and cry. And the parent says no the first time. And maybe they say no the second time. And if I'm in back of the line, I always say, hang in there, Mom. I'm with you. I'm praying for you. Keep saying no. But more and more, people don't want to say no anymore. Tonight's message is called, we've entitled it, Negatives of Growth. There are some negatives. There are some don't do this if you want to grow in grace. If you do the things that we have tonight listed, we have 9 of them listed in our text of don'ts, they will stunt your growth. You'll not grow the way God wants you to. And so, not only do we have to accept the do's of God, there are things we need to do that God has said we need to do if we're going to grow, but there are also some things that we have to refrain from. Next week we'll be talking about the positives of growth, the do's out of this text. But tonight is the don'ts. So if you would look with me at verse number 17, and our first don't, amen, verse number 17. It says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." The first is, don't conduct yourself like a sinner. You say, but I am a sinner, but you're saved. Amen? Don't conduct yourself like a sinner. You say, Pastor, how does a sinner conduct themselves? Well, look at the text with me, please. Verse number 17 says, the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. I've been recently just debating some folks on the validity of homosexual marriage. And I want to tell you what I hear more and more and more is, well, I think. Who really cares what you think? I've heard Christians say, well, I think it's okay. I don't care what you think. I've got God's authority on it. Amen. But what do sinners walk? They walk in the vanity of their mind. They're just like back in the days of Judges when there was no king in Israel and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Listen, we've got God's book. God's told us what is right and what is wrong right here. Don't be like the sinners. Don't walk in the vanity of your mind. Get the mind of God on things. They walk in the vanity of their mind. Something else they do, or verse number 18, they have their understanding darkened. You say, why is that, Pastor? Hold your place there. Go over to Romans chapter 1. I'll be, of course, mentioning this text on Sunday. You find God's discourse on what he thinks of the sin of homosexuality in Romans chapter 1. And it's not good. None of it's good. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It matters what God says. Amen? Why is their understanding darkened? If you go to verse number 19, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. It's obvious, amen, it's manifest. For God has showed it to them. What has He shown all mankind that says there is a God? Verse number 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Ladies and gentlemen, creation screams there's a God. Breathing in air, expelling carbon dioxide. No issue about that. Why? There's a God. There's a God in heaven, amen? You think of all around us, the orbiting of the planets, and I think of the birth of a child, amen? They all say there's a God. Such people that think there's no God would never deny that a watch has a watchmaker. And that a plane has engineers and designers and builders, amen. They'd say that's foolishness. We say it's heightened foolishness to say there is no God. But what does it say in verse 21? Because that when they knew God, when it was obvious to them that there was a God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and it gets worse and worse and worse as you go through the chapter. Having their understanding darkened, that's a trait of sinners. What else? Go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Right along this line, it says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. They're spiritually blinded by their own heart. Hey, may we Christians not get into this trap of saying, that person's got a good heart. Nobody has a good heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9 says. Sometimes we don't use biblical terms, amen. Oh, that person's so good, amen. There's none good, amen. We're saved. I understand what you mean. You say I've got a good neighbor, but they're spiritually blinded. Well, something else here, verse 19, look at that. Who being past feeling, I want to tell you, that's one of the most frightening verses in the Bible. That there are human beings walking around on planet Earth who are past the feeling of God. They're past feeling. Why? It says they have given themselves over to lasciviousness. What are sinners? They walk in the vanity of their mind. They have their understanding darkened. They're spiritually blinded. They have a seared conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, having their conscience seared as with a hot iron. That's the way some people are. The sinners that are out there. And that's why God gives us this, don't walk like sinners. Don't conduct yourself like sinners. There's supposed to be a change, bless God. Amen? There's supposed to be a change. When God said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What else does it tell us? Oh, it tells us of that sin mentioned in the Bible in verse 19, having given themselves over to lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is the sin of the license to sin. You say, where's lasciviousness? Couple verses. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Look them up with me, would you? Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. The great argument against lasciviousness. You'll hear this from people that honestly and sincerely believe you can lose your salvation. They say, well, if I believe like you, I'd just go out and sin all I could and then I'd ask God to forgive me. My response to that is, not if you really got saved. Because the Holy Ghost lives inside of us. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Why did Paul say that? Well, if you go back to verse number 20 of chapter 5, he said, moreover, the law entered that offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And then he asked the question, since we're saved by grace, should we just sin a lot so God can forgive us of more? God forbid. God forbid. And he says in verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Over to Jude chapter 1. Jude definitely chapter 1, amen. Verse number 4, here you have a discourse on that sin of lasciviousness. May we as Christians not take sin lightly, and all God's people said. Amen. May we not sin with the intention of repenting. Amen. Jude here in verse number 4 says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Listen, God's grace is not a license to sin. Amen? God's grace is not a license to sin. So what do these do? Back to Ephesians chapter 4. They're in the vanity of their mind. They have darkened understanding, spiritually blind, have a seared conscience, lasciviousness. And it says there, the last one, in verse 19, working all uncleanness with greediness. Kind of God's last stamp on what they do. Amen. Work all uncleanness with greed. So what does God say? Hey, don't conduct yourself like a sinner. You're saved. Amen? You're saved. Don't conduct yourself like a sinner. Number two, don't walk like you used to walk. Don't walk like you used to. Now, I don't mean I'm not talking about your actual walk. If you're pigeon-toed or knock-kneed, I don't mean anything like that. I'm talking about how you conduct yourself. Look at verse 22. It says that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. You see, lest we polish our halos as we read Romans chapter 1, if you read Romans chapter 2 and Romans chapter 3, you know what we find out? All are guilty before God. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Don't walk like you used to. Look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Hey, all of us at one time were dead in our trespasses and sins. And God made us alive. We got born again. Verse 2 says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Making a distinction here between the church at Ephesus and the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And thank God for verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Down to verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hey folks, if we're going to grow, we don't walk like sinners walk. You know what else we don't do? We don't walk like we used to. If you got saved, now I think of those that got saved, you know, at young, at 4 and 5 and all that, and this point that generally doesn't apply to them, amen, but it applies to those of us that got saved a little later in life. Not supposed to walk like you used to. Pastor Donald sings a song in junior church. We used to sing it, of course. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Why? There's been a great change since I've been born again. Hey, we ought not to walk like we used to. Some of us have pasts that we're ashamed of. Well, don't go walking back like you used to. Amen. Leave it alone. Amen. Leave it where it belongs, in the past. Number 3, verse 25 of Ephesians chapter number 4. It says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Don't walk like you used to. Don't conduct yourself like a sinner. Don't lie. Zechariah 8:16, go back there. Zechariah, second to the last book of the Old Testament, cross-reference there. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16. Zechariah 8:16. It says, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute judgment of truth and peace at your gates. Hey, transform your tongue with truth. Amen? Transform your tongue with truth. And you know what else? How about this? fess up when you mess up. You know what it says in 1 John chapter 1? If we say we have no sin, we make Him a liar, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful. Listen, don't lie to God about your sins. Amen. He already knows about them. Confess them. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Hey, what's the ninth commandment? Thou shalt not commit false witness. Amen. Don't lie. Don't walk the way you used to. Don't conduct yourself like sinners. Number four, I like this one. I shouldn't say I like it. I like the point. Amen. Verse number 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't end the day angry with anyone. That's a don't. You know, this is a habitual sin for some that has stunted growth. Many Christians get stunted by it. They get angry with somebody. They get cross with somebody. It just burns them up. Amen. That person. And you know, they become spiritually stunted in their growth. Listen, I can't say I've never gone to bed angry with my wife. That'd be a lie. But I try every day not to. That's easy for me. Amen. I'm married to her. It's hard for her. Amen. Because she's a kid. I'm sure I do lots of things. But listen, that's not worth you not growing in grace. Just listen. Just get it right. We had last night, we played softball and we got a little chippy with one another. We were making errors and it was ugly first couple innings. And we pulled everybody aside after the game and just said, hey, fellas, it's okay to say I'm sorry. If you get a little chippy with someone, it's okay to say I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Amen. And listen, don't end the day angry with anyone. Don't do it. Just determine you're not going to do it. So don't end the day angry with anyone. Don't lie. Don't walk like you used to. Don't walk like a sinner. How about number 5, verse 27? Don't give place to the devil. Don't give him place in your life. Neither give place to the devil. We of course, preached this earlier this year. And to give place means to allow entrance. And we do that by several things. When we have unconfessed sin and we have an unkind attitude and we have an unforgiving spirit and ungodly thoughts do that and unholy actions do that. But don't give the devil place in your life. You give the devil place in your life, you let him wiggle in, he will stunt your growth. God wants you to grow. Don't give place to the devil. Number 6, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Number 6 is don't steal. Don't steal. Now listen, I don't know who tithes and who doesn't. But listen to me. If you'll rob God, you'll rob anybody else. Amen. If you'll rob God, you'll rob... Listen, just stop. Just stop. Ask God to help you with that. Ask God to give you faith. I know people that said, I don't know how I can give 10%. I know if God said it, He can help you. Amen? He can help you. Don't steal. Don't give place to the devil. Don't end the day angry with others. Don't lie. Don't walk like you used to. Don't conduct yourself like sinners. Number 7, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Don't speak improperly. Many of us have wished when we spoke something, we could grab the words and put it back in our mouth. But you know what? We can't. So that's why God told us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying. Hey, you know what? Our tongue can tear down or it can build up. God says, stop using your tongue to tear down. Let's start using it to build up. Amen? What are we talking about here? Don't speak improperly. Edifying, ministering grace, building people up with your words. Amen? Oh, that's what God wants. Don't speak improperly. Don't steal. Don't give place to the devil. Don't end the day angry with anyone. Don't lie. Don't walk like you used to. Don't conduct yourself like sinners. Number 8, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, thank God, thank God. He's God's pledge that we're His. He dwells inside of us. And I think of the times that I've grieved Him and that He's still not left me because God promised that He wouldn't. But I think about that idea of grief, and I vividly remember a couple occasions that I've seen people grieve as a minister. I've been in the room when people have died, and I remember when my own dad died, and I watched my mom grieve. I watched her cry and heave, and I thought to myself, that's what the Holy Spirit does when we sin against Him. He grieves, He cries. He tried to woo us away from the sin, but we went on our own way and did what God didn't want us to do. Hey, listen, let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's not grieve, folks, let's not grieve Him with our conduct. Amen? Let's not grieve Him with our entertainment, what we watch, what we listen to. Amen? Let's not grieve Him. Lastly, number 9. Don't conduct yourself like sinners. Don't walk like you used to. Don't lie. Don't end up the day angry with others. Don't give place to the devil. Don't steal. Don't speak improperly. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Number 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Don't let sin fester. Don't let sin fester. Sin is like cancer. You know, you can't just leave cancer alone. You just can't. Why? Because it'll grow. It'll spread. And you see here in this text the snowball effect of sin. See, it starts with grieving the Holy Spirit in the previous verse, and then it turns to bitterness. And bitterness turns to wrath. And wrath turns to anger. And anger turns to clamor. And clamor turns to evil speaking. Evil speaking turns to malice, the desire to do physical harm. Listen, don't let sin fester. Confess it and forsake it and move on for God. Don't let it fester. Don't let it pile up. It will stunt your growth. These are God's don'ts right here in this text. God's don'ts. If you want to grow tonight, say amen. I mean, listen, we all want to grow. I know that. But listen, there's some don'ts. If we're going to grow properly, amen? If we're going to grow like God wants us to grow, He says there's some things we just can't do. Don't conduct yourself like sinners. Don't walk like you used to. If you got saved out of wickedness, stay out of it. Amen? Don't lie. Don't end the day angry with others. Don't give place to the devil. Don't steal. Don't speak improperly. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit and don't let sin fester. Why don't let sin? Because sin grows too. See, God wants to grow you, and if sin is growing in your life, you're not. Oh, that God would help us to see these negatives for growth. Some negatives, amen? Next week it'll be positive, I promise. Father,